I want to bring a message to you, and it's from Exodus chapter 14, and I'm going to preach expositorially this morning, which means I'm just going to preach from the Word, and as God reveals it, of course, I've studied all week long this, and I believe God is using this scripture to speak to me, and I hope to you this morning. Open your hearts, let God reveal to you what He would have, and help Him right now to make alive this scripture. Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. And Sebastian, just follow along, and you know, when I get to the next part. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in.' And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get over glory over Pharaoh and all of his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now, first of all, I want you to know something. The Lord called the children of Israel to do certain things, and they did them. They were following God. Whenever we are in the will of God, God can do great things. Even when it looks like, and we're going to see in a few minutes, like everything is against us, there will come a time when you are following the Lord and you are sitting there going and you're being faithful, you're in His will, you know you are, you might not be perfect, but you're trying to follow His will, you're trying to stay right with Him, when things are just not seemingly working, when things are coming against you, when it seems as if things are becoming overwhelming, continue to follow Him. Continue to do what He calls you to do, and God will make some amazing things happen. Go to the next part there, Sebastian. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed towards the people, and they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his armor with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. Now, I want you to remember this whole circumstance. The children of Israel had been 300 years in slavery. 300 years in slavery. That's a pretty good long while. They had prayed for God's deliverance. However, we really don't hear them desperately praying for deliverance until the last years. We don't know how many, but they really became, their prayers became intense. "God, deliver us. God, please." And they cried unto God. And so God heard their prayers, and he sent Moses to get the children of Israel out. God had already prepared Moses, though, because, as you know, Moses was brought up in the court of the Pharaoh. So he understood how it all works. So from many, many years before, God was already preparing their escape. And as they were being, everything was being prepared, God had a plan. Now, his plan was to bring them out of slavery. They had prayed to be delivered from slavery, and now they were being brought out. But when they were brought out, you would think, okay, we're free. God freed us. But then God changed the heart of Pharaoh and made him angry and ready to go get the children of Israel. And so he prepared all his great chariots, and 600, by the way, If you can imagine, that would be like an army today of a 500,000 to 1,000,000 people with no weapons against 600 Sherman tanks. This was craziness. They were going to be swallowed up. They were going to be destroyed. And yet, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow what you've been through to happen? I believe it's very important to realize God is in control, even of all the circumstances we're going through. So why would God, if these people were faithful and they did exactly what he said, they left, they went to the river, and they were established upon the sea there. And yet, God worked in the heart of Pharaoh to come after them. Their enemies were coming after them because he saw that the children of Israel were defiant. Read on. It goes, the Egyptians pursued them. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camp to the sea of Pihahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt?" Continue. And he said this, "Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of God, which he will work today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." Now, I want to stop right here and say this. The children of Israel had been delivered, but here is what God wanted to change. Their hearts and their minds. Because the children of Israel, listen to me, the children of Israel, although they had been liberated, still had a slavery mentality. You ever met anybody that came out of a particular situation, but their hearts were still in that situation, and it was like you couldn't get them to change? It's like, what? You would rather be in slavery than to be free? Well, we would rather have somebody provide for us than, and even if they're hurting us, to provide for us than to die in the desert. I find that true today. So many people are slaves to the things around them. Some are slaves to the government, as these children of Israel were slaves to the Pharaoh, and they don't care what the government does, just provide my means. Then there are others that are slaves to sin, slaves to the flesh. And although they've been delivered into salvation, they still deal with the slavery to the flesh. They can't get victory over it. And actually, they get to a point where they say, you know, it's more fun back over there with the flesh. I've seen, any of you seen Christians who came to Christ and within a few years, they went back to sins they had done before? Because they had not had the mentality and the heart of a saved person. They still had the heart and the mind of a slave to sin. There are some people that are slaves to fear. They walk through this life enamored or engrossed with fear. Every time they turn around, they fear this, they fear that, and they clamor, "God, help me. There's a new virus. Protect me." God is saying, "I've delivered you. Why don't you stand in victory? Why do you stand in fear? Why do you stand as a slave to fear? So many people today are enslaved to so many things. And I would say that when you become a Christian and God has delivered you out, the next thing he needs to do is to transform your mind and heart. So God had a plan of how he was going to deliver the children of Israel. And this is what he did. He allowed Pharaoh to come after him. Imagine you get out of a bad situation. God has delivered you. Pray, God, get me out of this, and I will serve you. And God does. He gets you out. And then your enemy comes after you. You say, but God, you just delivered me. Now why are you letting my enemy come against you? And this is the point. And I want to get to it in just a few moments, but I'm going to go ahead and say, he wants you to see his power in the midst of your life and how he is in control. The way he did it with the children of Israel, he released the 600 chariots. Scroll next. And then lift up your staff, stretch it out, hand over the sea, and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get the glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Continue. And then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood between them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night long. During the night, God began to blow. From the breath of God, he blew. And the winds came and separated the waters. It took all night for the bottom of the sea to dry up to where they could walk on it. That night, they were protected. Even though the enemy was right there, encamped next to them, God put a pillar of fire between them. Now, I want you to know something. We all are called to go and do things. We are all called to minister in his name. We are all called to live for him. We are all called to live a delivered lifestyle. And yet we find ourselves fearful because right at our doorstep is this thing. And God is saying, I've got that separated from you. It can't touch you unless I let it touch you. It can't touch you. Do we understand that? It can't touch you. I've got it separated. It's over here. Between it and you, I have a wall of fire until I take you to the other side. So, next scripture, look at this. It says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on either on the right and on the left hand. And the Egyptians pursued them, went in after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen, and notice this. In the morning, watch the Lord in the pillar of fire and of a cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Now I want you to know something. There was a point in God releasing the enemies against the children of God. And that was not only to show the children of God that God was in charge, but it was also to show the evil people that God was in charge. God sometimes brings enemies against us, or things against us, or people against us, to show them that God is in charge. Not man, but God. And God clogged up the wheels of the chariots, and then the waters came down and destroyed them. Now, and when Moses looked up and said, "Behold the hand of God," the children of Israel saw it as so. Let me just go to look in verse 19. Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of the armies, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front to stand behind them, coming between the enemies of Egypt and Israel. So it was not only the clouds, it was the angels of the Lord who stood between them. And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night drove the sea back. By the way, it says they went between two walls of water. When people say, "Oh, that was just a period of time when maybe the moon rose at a certain angle and caused the sea to go back a little bit," well, this says there were great walls of water on either side. Now, for that to be the case and then to be dry in one place is not a natural course of history in that area. This was a special manifestation of God. And the Egyptians pursued them and all the pharaohs and his horses. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of the fire and the cloud at Egypt's army and threw it into the confusion. He jammed up the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against them. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and over their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place, and the Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry land with the wall of water on the right and on the left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, excuse me, the people feared the Lord, put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. In chapter 15, it sings a song. Moses sings a song, and they have a song that is recorded. And down through history, they sing that song, God has delivered us. Why did God allow that? Why did God allow this to happen? It was to take them and to change them into who they depended on. You see, slavery mentality is this way. It causes us to depend on a source for our livelihood. For many, slavery mentality might be sin. To be happy, I have to do this sin. For others, it might be I've got slavery mentality to people providing for me. I don't provide for myself anymore. Some people have a slavery mentality to fear, because they believe if I am fearful, and somewhere in their minds, if I'm fearful, I'm going to take care of myself and things are going to be okay. Mainly because they've been fearful all their lives. I want you to know something. God doesn't just want to deliver us from the hand of evil. He wants to deliver our minds and hearts. Now, some of us are going to go through circumstances and situations where God has to exhibit his hand and his power so that we trust him. We are delivered from a slavery mentality into a dependence on him and a trust in him. And when he shows his power, then we have a trust in him. At times, we're following him, just as the children of Israel are following him faithfully. And we're just right with him. All right, God, I'm right with you. And then suddenly we come and we face a dilemma that just hits us square in the face. And we go, God, I thought we were being faithful and you allowed this to happen. I want to share with you about a friend of mine, Dr. Evans. And Dr. Evans was telling this story. He said that his church was beginning and they were trying to make ends meet, and so they were meeting in a school in the neighborhood. This was many years ago. And the school board met, and they didn't want a church meeting there because they believe in separation of church and state, which is a bunch of bunk. But anyway, they said, enough votes at the time that had already preliminarily been cast in their mind to ask the church to leave and not to come back to the school. And Dr. Evans said, you know, we began to pray, Lord, we don't have anywhere to go. At least let us stay here for a while and help change the mind of the board members or whatever so we can stay here at the school. And he said, so the night came of the vote, and we were all outside waiting to hear what the vote was by the school board. And it went long. The meeting went an hour and a half. Normally should have been very short. And he said, finally, after an hour and a half, they came out and they said, by one vote, you get to stay. You're going to stay here at the place. And he said, great, great. So he said, but let me share with you a little story. The guy that was talking to him really wanted them to stay. He was the chairman of the board. He said, there were two men who were defiantly against you being here. They called each other and said, why don't we ride together? So they both got in the same car and were coming carpooling together to the meeting when there was a wreck just ahead of them and it clogged up the road and all the cars around them stopped. It was over 2 miles away, so they couldn't walk. They couldn't find a way. And finally, after an hour, they got there. They had tried to delay the vote, but finally they had to take the vote after an hour. Had those two men been there, they would have been asked to leave. And he said, from that point on, I looked at my church and I said, see, God's hand is upon us. God's power is upon us. Although they came against us, God showed his might over all circumstances. And sometimes we've got to go through things in life so that God can show his might and his power in the midst of a terrible situation so that we trust him and we're not slaves to the world or slaves to a mentality that's detrimental to us. I was going through a terrible time in my life. Not terrible, that's not really accurate. I was going through a troubled time in my life. I got a granddaughter who, when she was, I think, 2 and a half, before she was 3, we looked at her and she was telling us about school, and she just looked, stopped after she was telling us, and she said, it was a troubled day. Well, this was a troubled time in my life, and I was going through, I think it was the birth of my first grandchild, grandson, and I had a lot of concerns about him, and there were, you know, things that I was really dealing with in my mind, and I was praying. I was going to a school meeting in Greensboro, North Carolina. I got in my truck, and I began to drive. It was still dark because we had to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark, and as I was driving, I said, Lord, please, please, God, please put your blood upon my grandchild in this situation. Just, I plead your blood. And as I looked, a car was coming from behind me with his lights on. And when I looked at my rearview mirror, this is what popped up.
Now, I pulled over to the side of the road, and when I did, the car went by and it wasn't there. And I looked and I said, I was going to take a picture of that. Then another car came around me, and when the car hit it, there is what I saw. It was still there. Three crosses. One in the middle, one to the left, and one real high at the top on the right. It's sort of faded. You can't see it, but there are three crosses. Where'd that come from? I don't know. But it was God's sign. He showed me. He pointed out. He's in charge. He's got this. And I relaxed and gave it to him. Sometimes we have got to go through circumstances and dilemmas that take us into a moment when we cry out to God, wasn't it safer over here rather than here? And God says to us, watch the hand of God. We trust him. We are delivered. And then at that moment, God's grace and mercy carries us through. I hope that when you meet those challenges, and some of you have met them recently, some of us yet have them to be met, but I pray and ask that you might realize that God is allowing this to happen so that he can show you his great might and his power, so that in the future you will not be enslaved to some type of mentality that is destructive to you, but you might be completely submissive to his will. Today, as we join together, I want us just to close our eyes and give up to God right now. If there's anyone listening this morning that has never given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that walking with God is as simple as this. I surrender my heart to you, Jesus. You're the Lord and Savior of the world. I give you my heart. I entrust my soul. I entrust my very future to you. I surrender. If you would do that right now, just pray that prayer to God. And he will take you into his arms and he will envelop you. It's the beginning of a journey. It's only the beginning of a journey. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And it is a wonderful journey. Right now, just trust him. For everyone else that has made that commitment, I want you to answer this question. Is there anything that I'm going through or been through recently that I just need to see God's power in the midst? Because in your word, Lord, it says, in your weakness, I am made strong. And help us to trust you. Help us to release to you all that we are and have in these moments. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We want to let you know that we have the offering plate here at the front. We receive offerings as you give them for the church and its ministry, which continues to go on. We were out yesterday visiting, and we still minister to people and still have quite a few ministries to do in the name of the Lord. Next Sunday, we come back and we join together for our Thanksgiving service. And also, next Sunday is also Lord's Supper. I want to tell you a thing about it. We're going to send out a message to everyone. If you're not here, everyone that's here is going to get a sealed cup and sealed bread. We've already ordered it. It's already here. And you will open it yourself. We will not touch it, okay? And then you can take of the Lord's Supper here, and you will take it in your seat. I hope that if you're not online, not here with us this Sunday, you'll be here with us next Sunday as we share together the Lord's Supper. If you're at home, I want you to take a cup and of juice and bread, and as we go through the Lord's Supper, be ready to take it at home. But it will be sterile. It will be individual wrapped cups and bread that we've ordered. Okay. The other thing is this week, Wednesday was our wings this week, but next, this coming week, it's Tuesday, right? Good. So this Tuesday, special guest speaker, it was Wednesday, and I listened in. It was a very good time together. And this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, Thursday, 7:30, we're going to be studying the rapture. We're going to suspend right where we are in verse 14 or 15, and we're going to go directly to looking at the different views about the rapture, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I think it's very important in our day and time to look at the evidence of that. So Thursday, we'll be studying the rapture alone. Matthew chapter 24. I've asked everybody that was there to read Matthew chapter 24 before you come so that we have a bit of discussion when you come. And then Friday, there will not be the group that meets this.